Good morning. So I understand, I did not ask this at the first service, but I understand that the appropriate question this morning would be, are you warm enough? I understand it was pretty cold last Sunday. How many of you were freezing last week? I'm sorry, I was not. But I would have rather to have been here than in Florida for a funeral. But Sunday afternoon, we were watching the football game, and the air conditioning kicked on in the house. I believe it was set at 75, and it was either 80 or 85 outside. So when we left Latrobe Thursday morning, and it was 1, landed, and it was in the 60s, it was pretty nice. But the furnace people have been here, and I guess everything was working. They just kind of boosted up the pressure in the lines, which means you may have really a lot more heat up there in the balcony. Last night, Phil said it was 75 in the balcony, so he opened the doors on the side and cooled it down. What was it this morning, Phil? I see him in the back. He's coming in. It was down to 72 up there this morning, so I'd love to find out what it is up there. No. There's the scaffolding. Yeah, maybe we'll put a thermometer on a pole this week and see what it is up there out of curiosity. But so hopefully that is fixed. But I've learned over the years that if I were to take a poll right now, some of you are cold, some of you are too warm, and some of you are just right. So go figure how you make that work for everyone. It just sounds like Goldilocks every week. And but we're glad that you are here, and may we, as we worship and celebrate gifts and blessings from God, we pray that indeed Christ might speak to us as how to be God's faithful servants. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Good morning. Welcome to all who are worshiping with us today. We're glad to see everyone this morning. If you are visiting with us, we'd like to share a welcome packet with you, and they can be found out on a shepherd's crook out in the narthex. Please make sure also to sign in the red register pads at the end of your pew. Just to share a few of the announcements this morning, the children's collection this week and next week also will be given to the Race for Grace. And I think that's really dear to a lot of us. Before we got Pastor David, we had Reverend Funk, and his granddaughter was actually the reason for this Race for Grace. So this is very dear to a lot of us. It gives us a chance to put our church out there and just to be a part of the community. Next Sunday, there will be a reception for new members. We do actually a new member. We have one new member joining next Sunday. And a final announcement from me, that would be the nursery is looking for volunteers for this year. So if you can find the time to do it, there's only usually 2 or 3 times a year that you're asked to help out. So please give that some thought. And at this time, Diane has an announcement.
Well, it's just past Christmas, so it must be time to get ready for Living Last Supper. The seasons go really fast in the church here, it seems. First of all, there is a misprint in your bulletin. The performance dates will be March 31st, not March 30th, March 31st and April 2nd. I'm in need this year of a person to be in charge of costumes. Now, that doesn't mean that you make the costumes. Most of them are made. I don't think we'll need too many alterations on things. We have a group of people who are willing to help with that committee, but we need someone to be in charge. So if you are a man or a woman who would like to help us with the costumes, please let me know. Also, all of the costumes have to be ironed and ready to go by February 29th, I believe, 28th, the first Sunday of Lent. So if you are able to wield an iron, if you still know what an iron is, if you are able to help with that, if you'd see me also, I'll make sure that you are on that list and get a costume or two to iron. Any of the actors, men who have been doing this year after year, if you have not already confirmed with me your availability this year, please do that quickly so I see who I have to get. Men of the church, if you are, especially if you're new to the church, we have spots perhaps open for disciples for the Last Supper, but we also need understudies. Now, that sometimes seems like a thankless task because you may not get on, but we have had instances in past years where somebody got sick at the last minute or got called out of town for work at the last minute, and we had to get somebody to jump right in. So if you are willing to give it a try on any of these situations, again, if you would see me, and I'll make sure you have all of the material. Okay, thank you.
Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? The one who knit us together in our mother's womb is calling us today. The one who knows our paths, the one acquainted with all our ways, is here to lead us into life. The one who hems us in from behind and before is with us in our time of worship.
Bless us, Holy One, with your words in our mouths, and your joy in our hearts.
Speak to us, Lord, for your servants are listening. Please join me in the morning prayer. Wisdom of the ages,
you know all things from heaven and on earth. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, you set the length of our days.
Call us once more, O God.
Call us that we might hear your voice and
Please remain standing for the hymn of praise, number 454.
And the children may come up for the children's sermon. And how is everyone today? We had normally on at the early service, I have two. And I think today I had about eight. So there were more kids at the early service than now. So no school tomorrow. Yes. Keep coming. Keep coming. Come on. You, no school tomorrow?
Nope.
You get to sleep in? Yep. Are you going to do anything exciting? Not sure yet. Well, like when you oversleep on a school day, what does mom or dad do? They call you? Or how do they wake you up? They wiggle you. Okay, they give you a wiggle shake. So if you're doing something that you're not supposed to do, and I hope that doesn't happen very often, how does your mom or dad call you? Or what do they say to you? They call your name. Yeah, see, I remember growing up. You might want to turn the mic down a little bit here. Yeah, you all know this one, huh? My full name is David Scott Lake. And if I was outside or in another part of the room and I heard, "David Scott Lake, get in here!" Woo! And sometimes I had an older brother and a younger brother and a younger sister. And sometimes it might be, "Jeff, David, Craig, Betsy, whoever you are, get in here." I was really in trouble when I got called my sister's name. Yeah. You've all been there. You've all had your name yelled out a few times. But hopefully it's not very often that way. Yeah. My mom doesn't call me that way anymore. She doesn't yell at me that way anymore. No. But you know what? There's someone else that gently calls your name every day. You're right. Jesus does. Yes. Later on in the one scripture out of Samuel, there's a little boy, his name is Samuel, and he thinks it's the priest Eli calling his name. And three times he goes in and says, "What do you want? You're waking me up in the middle of the night."
That's not quite what he says, but kind of. And eventually Eli says, next time, say it's God calling you, say, here I am, God, what do you want? And then we know Jesus, how many followers did he have, that tight group of followers? How many were there?
12.
Good answer. There were 12, and he called them by name, you know, and they came and followed him. And we call them the 12 disciples. But Jesus calls us every day by our names. But not only those just us up here, but also everyone out there, God calls us every morning by name and says, come follow me. And I hope that we always follow what Jesus wants us to do. Let's bow for prayer. Gracious God, we are thankful for these boys and girls, and we know that your hands are upon them. Continue, O God, to bless them and to use them. Be with their moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, all of those that care for them. For we pray that they will live and grow for you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
First scripture reading this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son?" Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. At this time, could we please have our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings? God, how precious are your thoughts. In wisdom, you teach us your way and call us to follow you. Help us to trust you in all things. Then we will be at peace, knowing that you do what is best. May these gifts advance your peace in our community and to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Please be seated. We come now to that time in our service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you turn on the back of our worship folder, we do have one person in the hospital. Cheryl is in, but we believe coming home today. No, not coming home today. Okay. Maybe tomorrow or Tuesday. Maybe. Okay, she's down in Presby. Presbyterian, so we'll want to remember her as she is cared for with her treatments. It's been an interesting week when 2 weeks ago my uncle died very suddenly, and then I had a funeral on Friday for a person in the community, and then Thursday morning I had a phone call from a high school friend. Her brother was my best friend. I did Mindy's wedding 20 years ago, and she and Michael moved out to L.A. and had a couple girls, we believe 12 and 14. Mindy and the girls are now living in Fox Chapel because of marital issues and a divorce. Michael evidently was diagnosed with cancer. He was a producer, but Wednesday decided that he would take his own life and not go through the treatment. So I will be meeting with that family later on this evening, and I'm not going to California to do a service, and they're not going, but we're going to do some type of a memorial service here. And, you know, so two young teens, 12, 14, have lost their dad. And, you know, a multitude of individuals and situations around us of those dealing with illnesses and sicknesses and treatments. Family members that are flying. We have somebody this from the 8:30 service where a family member is flying to Belgium in the air right now. And, you know, just all that little bit of tension and turmoil of being traveling to other countries right now, let alone traveling, period, with just the way things are. So remember, not only those situations that affect us personally, but there are those other situations around the world that indirectly may or not be affecting us as well. So let us continue our service as we seek God's presence in our prayer hymn this morning, number 474, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Gracious and loving God, every single day we pray that you will take our hand, that you will hold on to us and that you will guide us and direct us. Not only our feet, but guide also, O God, our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Guide our ears, our eyes, our voices, our thoughts, our hands. For you, O God, have created each and every one of us to be engaged in life. You've called us to be a part of your kingdom, to be a part of this servant body that has chosen to follow Jesus Christ, to place his teachings and his actions alive and well in our own lives, to be a source of light, of comfort, of peace, of good news, to be your servants and disciples, O God, to the world. O God, we pray for that moment in time when peace will abound, when good news will be shared and heard and received, when everyone who was homeless last night has a place of warmth to stay, when everyone who has a stomach that is growling because of a lack of food, that there is fullness. That those, O God, who are struggling to hang on because of a multitude of reasons, O God, that they would be comforted. O God, we pray for that time when hatred will disappear, when oppression will be no more. And on this weekend, when we are mindful of Dr. Martin Luther King, O God, we pray for that moment in time when indeed we would look at one another and not see the color of their skin, not see the color of their hair, the shape of it, the style of it. We wouldn't look at sizes and shapes. We would look at their hearts as you look, and we would see brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh God, the world has come so far, and yet we have so far to go. And so we pray, oh God, that each and every day, as you would call our names, each and every day, as your Spirit empowers us with gifts and talents to be used within your kingdom, oh God, that we would faithfully respond. That we would be used with each step that we take, with each word that we speak. That we would take the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, his actions, his teachings, and they would become a part of our daily lives and living. Oh God, continue to use us this week wherever we will be found. No matter what day it is, oh God, may the presence of Christ be written upon us, that his light might shine and radiate forth from within us, and others might see and experience Christ because they've met us. Oh God, we pray for the hurts and the needs in our midst, for those that need to experience your healing power and presence, for those, O God, who need to be comforted, for those, O God, who need. O God, we also pray for the mission and ministry that is represented here today by individuals, by families, and by your church. Faithfully, O God, might we be your servants, alive and well, and a force to contend with beyond these walls. O God, we ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as we share together in the prayer he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So we make preparations to hear these words of Scripture from John's Gospel this morning. If you are able, I would invite you to please stand. This passage starts out with a sentence that says, "The next day," and that next day is the day that is following Jesus' baptism. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael looked and said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Probably one of the greatest rites of passage in American culture is when a teenager gets his or her driver's license. I remember turning 16 and thinking, "Oh, I am so mature." I remember when Andrew and Abigail turned 16 and I thought, "Oh, you are such children." It does us good to read over the current lists of do's and don'ts as we work with our youth and go over that list of do's and don'ts for driving. And while most states in the United States observe many traffic laws in common, driving on the right side of the road, actually stopping at stop signs, I swear most of us think that STOP means slightly tap on pedal, or some of our youth squeal tires on pavement. There are some rules that vary state to state. There are some rules on the books in some states that are just downright goofy. In Little Rock, Arkansas, no person shall sound the horn on a vehicle at any place where cold drinks or sandwiches are served after 9 p.m. Go figure why that's there. Decades ago, sorry ladies, it was illegal for a woman to drive down Main Street in Waynesboro, Virginia, without her husband walking in front of the car waving a red flag. "Here she comes! Get out of the way!" In Minnesota, it's illegal to cross state lines with a duck on your head. No word yet whether chickens are acceptable. Tennessee. I had people say to me, "Surely that one is not true." Tennessee has a law that prohibits shooting at animals from a car unless that animal happens to be a whale. So if you're driving down the highway in Tennessee, say in Chattanooga, and you see a whale beached along the side of the road, go ahead and blast away. You might want to call the straitjacket, though, if you see a whale that far from the ocean. In San Francisco, car wash owners are restricted from drying off vehicles with used underwear. And all God's people said, ew. Somebody said, wouldn't you like to know what those lawmakers were either drinking or smoking when they came up with some of those? The key is to take that manual, that driver's manual, and to read it, to study it, to use it, so that its daily experience just becomes second nature. And of course, that's the best way to do it, so that you don't have someone walking in front of you waving a red flag. Of course, I always tell the kids when they get their permit or their license, okay, that's good to know you're now driving, because now I know the safest place is going to be on the road, because you're always going to be off in a ditch or a field somewhere. The traffic laws for Jesus were a little more relaxed. Jesus probably walked thousands of miles in his lifetime, and as he traveled, Jesus began to define a different set of rules and regulations for those that followed him on those ancient roads and for those of us that follow him today. We miss a lot of the uniqueness and radicalness of the laws, though, because we've just always heard them. The story in today's lesson from the Gospel of John illustrates that Jesus' rules of the road are timeless and important if we're going to stay on the right track as his disciples. Jesus is traveling from his baptism, going back to Galilee, his hometown. The road running along the Jordan River was the main north-south route through that region, and Jesus and other Jewish people would have traveled this road many, many times. Jesus is traveling with Andrew and Peter. He's already called them. And now he's going to encounter two more. In the hometown of Andrew and Peter, Jesus encounters two men that he calls to teach along the roadway. Three rules we experience in this morning's scripture, three rules that everyone that is compelled to follow Jesus should adhere to. Rule number one, Jesus says, follow me. Kind of the equivalent to Jesus holding up a red flag, waving it in front of those who want to come after him. Follow me. Note that it's not a suggestion. It's not a question. It's not simply believe in me, think about me, or consider me. Jesus emphatically says, follow me. To be a disciple is to leave the pathway, the roadway that we are on, and to take the road upon which Jesus is traveling. Jesus is calling individuals to follow him on the road that leads straight to the heart of God and God's mission. Too often we have defined the rules of Christian faith in terms of what we believe about Jesus, instead of actually focusing and following Jesus and doing what Jesus does. Information is important. Imitating Jesus, though, is really the heart of discipleship. On this weekend of celebrating the life and remembering Dr. Martin Luther King, we realize that there is an individual who was not going to live life in the status quo anymore. And so he placed his life and trust in Jesus and began to live a life that followed Jesus by accepting people regardless of the color of their skin. Rule number two, Jesus says, come. Come and see. Philip responds to Nathanael's skepticism with an invitation. Well, if you don't believe me, at least come and see. Experience it firsthand. So Philip doesn't try to argue. He doesn't try to force Nathanael. Rather, Philip uses a green light and says, just come and see for yourself, where Nathanael puts up a stop sign. Because Philip knew that his friend Nathanael would best respond to an open invitation. And Nathanael comes and, to his amazement, discovers that Jesus already knows him. You see, we're all invited to come and to see and to follow the one who already knows us by name, the one who already knows everything there is to know about us. And when we are invited to come to Jesus, and when we invite others to come and see, we know that Jesus is ready to come and to dwell with us and to respond, come and see the good news I have for you. Rule number 3, see. Look around you, see. You will see greater things than these. Nathanael was amazed that Jesus knew him. But if that in and of itself is amazing, Jesus told his new disciple, in essence, you ain't seen nothing yet. And the rest of John's gospel reveals and shares the stories of those amazing things to those who had accepted Jesus' invitation. They got to witness multitudes of healings, exorcisms, miracles, the transfiguration, and especially the resurrection of the dead. Following Jesus was, following Jesus is, a ticket to a wild ride with many twists and turns in our daily lives and living. But many of us are content with doing only what we think we can do, following the rules that are the easiest to follow, taking the roadway that is clearly marked and the easiest way to travel. The disciples of Jesus Christ learned, however, that following Jesus Christ is actually a journey that is filled with strange and exciting opportunities to rewrite the rules in the world the way things operate today. And to rewrite those rules according to the teachings and the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, today Jesus Christ invites us to see the world differently, to see it through his eyes. And he says, come. Follow and see. And all things will be made new. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the calling of your disciples. We are thankful, O God, for the calling of each and every one of us. You desire an intimate relationship with us all. And you desire, O God, that we will pattern our lives after the Christ child, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we might carry his message and his good news forth from this place out into the world to our places of work and play, our places of socializing, our places where there are hurts and needs and joys and celebrations. Call us, send us, and we will go. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn, number 733, Marching to Zion. Our gracious and loving God, in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, we pray that we will march to the drum of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, patterning our lives after his teachings, after his life, that we might be servants to the world. For we go, O God, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.